Thank you, Dean. Welcome to all of you. Friends, now it's on? Okay. Friends, strangers, adults, and children, I thank you for making me feel so welcome, and that is really true. I didn't get a wave because I was probably running too fast. Postman, that's better. I just thank you, folks, for the opportunity to share another message. My message today is my own testimony. I've never done this before. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go and tell what you've seen and heard." So that's really what I want to share today. Please stand for the call to worship. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house." Our first hymn this morning is "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms," number 87.
Thank you.
Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come in your power. Help us to realize that you and you alone have given us the wisdom, the joy, the love for people. And you help us as people to push forward every day seeking your direction. Give us your spirit of perfect love that can change our families and our community. I ask you to keep us from fear that seems to dominate everything as we speak today. Lord Jesus, we truly need your spirit of revival. Revival us, Lord. Help us to speak your message of deliverance and love. Break break the chains of fear and suspicion of others and set us free. Give us all courage. Courage to speak. Courage to be your disciples in Sumas and the surrounding area. Help us, Lord Jesus, to truly know that you bring life from the ash heaps of sin. We praise and love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now join me as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated, please. Today, Ted is going to come forward, Vandermeer, and he's going to have a reading for us. It was written by Dag Hammarskjöld, and most of you folks are too young to remember Dag Hammarskjöld. So I'll tell you just a little about Dag Hammarskjöld. He was the second Secretary General of the United Nations. And Dag was killed in his second term in a plane crash in Rhodesia, a very suspicious thing that they always have wondered why and what happened. But anyway, when I read his short prayer in our songbook, it just really touched my heart. And I thought it would be really nice to have Ted come forward and read it for us.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us a pure heart that we may see, a humble heart that we may hear thee, a heart of love that we may serve thee, a heart of faith that we may live thee. Amen.
Now we're going to sing number 591, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Thank you.
Our scripture today is John 14, 15 through 23. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I'll love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself not to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Amen. Born again. It's my testimony of the Lord coming into my life. Began approximately 40 years ago. And I don't think my story is unique. I think thousands and thousands of people, and maybe millions over the years, have found a relationship rather than a religion. A friend closer than a brother, one who we can rely on completely and trust with our very own lives. I've been blessed beyond measure. Not because I deserve it or have done anything special, but because I was drowning in sin and despair and the Lord reached down and rescued me. Driving down a highway looking for a bridge to drive off, I cried out, Jesus, if you're real, I need you. In an instant, a twinkling of an eye, Jesus Christ became a reality in my life. Jesus becomes a constant testimony within the person whose will put him first. Jesus says of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, He dwells with you and will be in you. I want to repeat, He will be in you. I believe what He told the disciples to go and say to John the Baptist, go and tell what you've seen and heard. I know many will say He's the only speaking to His 12 chosen disciples in this verse, but this command is applicable for anyone who's been blessed and born again into a new life in Jesus Christ. Anyone who has experienced the power of Jesus in their life and knows that He's speaking also to them. I've never attempted to write these things down before. However, I believe very strongly that with the blessing comes responsibility. We're told to share that blessing with other folks. So today, I hope my testimony will be a blessing to you folks and will be an encouragement to you all. There may be someone who's not yet really given his life over to Christ. Or maybe there's someone whose life is a total wreck. Or a person who is deep in despair. It doesn't always show on the outside. We put on our happy face for church when sometimes we're crying inside? Jesus is the only answer for each and every one of us. The scripture says he makes all things new. And I can testify to the truth of that statement. No one, and again I say, no one can say, look at what I've accomplished. My life has been fulfilled. If we're perfectly honest with ourselves, we know that Jesus is the only one who can bring complete fulfillment into our heart. Not our spouse, not our children, not our best friend. Once a person has experienced the power that Jesus promised when he said he shall be in you, we realize he's the only one who brings fulfillment to our lives. If we choose to allow God to fulfill his promise and purpose in us. After that day on the highway, the next evening I was right back where I had been for, I don't know, 15 years, I don't remember. The Barkerville Edition Tavern with a very good friend of mine, Roy Messick. And a lot of times I would go home after daylight. Alcohol. Sin. And I'm not saying you're sinful because you drink alcohol. I'm saying for me, it took complete control. And it happens, I'm not fast. It's a time that it goes. And we don't even see it. And pretty quick, it's out of control. The very next day, evening, after my appointment with Jesus on that highway. And this was a bonus. I didn't realize, I didn't ask what happened. Jesus Christ set me completely free of alcohol. Now, I tried quitting many times, many, many times. And that headache was about to fly out of my head in the morning. I'm done with it till about 11 o'clock the next night. I'm standing there talking to a kid I graduated from high school with a half a schooner of beer in my hand. The fellow's name was Roy Harvey. And I'm talking to him about Jesus Christ in the Barkerville edition. And I looked at this schooner of beer, set it down on the table, and said, I don't need this anymore. And it was gone. Jesus Christ healed me of alcoholism. Now, I know plenty of people can drink it. It doesn't hurt them a bit. But I know what it did to me. For one thing, I was getting deeper and deeper into sin. He set me free. And I was talked to people for years about drinking that have problems. And a lot of them go to the programs that are out there. And I encourage them, please continue in the program. But for me, it happened as fast as turning a light bulb on. And I really didn't even ask for it. Born again, took it from me, the Lord Jesus. I was thinking about this sermon, or message, and one of the men that came to my mind and heart, and some of you are old enough to remember him, his name was Lloyd Bowen, and I want to tell you Lloyd's story and about Jesus. It happened that three of us guys decided that it was time for us to go and pray for people together, the three of us. And the three guys were Lawrence Benner, Bill Camphouse, and myself. And we heard that Lloyd Bowen was in the hospital dying of cancer. So the three of us went in to pray for Lloyd Bowen. I want to share first about Lloyd's life. And some of you might remember us, but I doubt many. The Bowens were famous for being poor. And everybody in those days was poor. But there was a couple of families in Sumas that were poor. And the Bowens were one of them. I heard some of these stories because before I remember, Lloyd quit school very early to go to work with his dad in the clay mines right up in the mountains right over here. There was lots of clay mines in those days. One day while they were working, Lloyd's father had a terrible heart attack. And as he was dying in Lloyd's arms in the mine, he made Lloyd promise to take care of the family. And Lloyd did promise that he would. Now there were seven kids and mom left in that family. When I can remember Lloyd, he had got a job as the Sumas garbage man. That wasn't a very nice job. When they picked up the garbage, by the way, I think they call them sanitation engineers now. But in those days, you was truly a garbage man. Lloyd wore striped overalls and they were always dirty and stinky. Now, if you can picture this picture, the old gravel truck that the city owned, and I don't know how high those things were. They were high. Lloyd was a big man, but he wasn't that big. And he'd have to tip the cans like that up over the side of the garbage truck. And of course, especially days like today and yesterday, the garbage cans were half full of water. So you know where a lot of it went, right down his arms and into his clothes, all over his face and neck and head. It was a terrible job, to be honest with you. But Lloyd was the garbage man for Sumas very faithfully for a lot of years. I remember hearing this, that a bunch of the city fathers decided that Lloyd wasn't getting paid enough, and I don't even know if he was making a dollar an hour. But they went to the city hall and begged the city hall, please give Lloyd a nickel raise. We can't even imagine stuff like that, but that's what they asked for. Now Lloyd was dying. He was in the hospital, and the three of us walked into his room. I seen a horrible sight. I didn't know that cancer did this to some people. But he was full of scabs all over his body, but we could see his arms, huge scabs. It was awful. The three of us, one at a time, walked up to his bed to pray. I was the last. And as I took his hand in mine, out of my mouth came these words: Lloyd, you soon are going to be with kings and princes. That had to have come from the Holy Spirit. Spud, don't talk that way. I want to finish this wonderful story. Lloyd went home from the hospital. People heard he was home and went to visit him, and an amazing and wonderful thing happened. People went intending to be a blessing to Lloyd, and they left being blessed by Lloyd. I said at the time, the lowest person in Sumas, but now he was the greatest evangelist in Sumas. His brother Howard told me that when he went to visit Lloyd in the hospital, he'd read a scripture to him, and it didn't have much effect. But after that day, that prayer day, he would say, read me some more scripture. From then on until he passed away, I believe he was given at least 6 months. To me, the lowest of low, the poorest of poor, become the greatest and richest man in Sumas. He had Jesus, and Jesus had him. I'm going to say this again. He had Jesus, and Jesus had him. Praise God. You know, when I was writing these, I realized this was an impossible task. So I'm just going to list a few events that I've been a part of or experienced. Bible studies. I, for many, many, many years, led 5 Bible studies a week. And a lot of times, 6 and even 7 Bible studies a week. And you may have asked, did you work? Yes, I had a full-time job. And you would ask, well, how did you do that? And I'll have to say, I don't know. I know that I almost constantly use the 4 Gospels. And the Lord provided. Even if I hadn't had 5 minutes ahead of time to read the Lord. Because when the Holy Spirit opens the scriptures to us, it's alive. It's Jesus Christ speaking to people. And other than that, that's my only answer. It wasn't me. It's the Holy Spirit in us. And He does bring life. I have a humorous story about Bible studies. I was invited to speak at a big, big men's Bible study in Linden. Now, this was in the early 80s, and I think anyone that can go back that far realized that people from Linden didn't think a whole lot for peoples of Sumas or vice versa. Amen? So, I was introduced by this fellow. I didn't know, and here's what he said. He quoted a small verse out of the Gospels. He said, what good thing comes out of Nazareth? And then he said, we in Linden might ask, what good things can come out of Sumas? And as I looked around the room, I don't think it was a joke. We had a good Bible study anyway. The Lord has graciously allowed me to write a number of Christmas and Easter cantatas. I have had no musical training. I'd simply lay down on the living room floor with paper and pencil and let the Lord guide my thoughts and my hands. I think the event that people would remember was Nooksack 86, the evangelistic crusade we held at Nooksack High School football field. So many of our local people were involved, as well as some from far away. It was really special to me that I could ask people to do certain important things, and they did. For example, I thought it would be good to have a school bus go to the senior centers and pick up the senior centers for the four nights of the crusade. Now, Bob Van Deest had a truck driver's license. He was hauling cattle, and I asked Bob if he would drive the bus to the crusade for the seniors. And each night, such a bunch of delightful folks from the senior center arrived in the bus that Bob was driving. Daryl Ellers contributed his bus. And we had Harold Hunick contributed two flatbed, his long alfalfa hay trailers, sitting side by each like that, made a beautiful stage. And we bought some plywood, and Tracy Murray painted it beautifully in great big letters. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The fire department and paramedics were on hand in case anyone needed them. Various churches contributed their musicians and choirs. It was a beautiful example of spiritual cooperation amongst people of God, no matter what their denomination was. On the final evening, a Sunday, the stadium was full, and folding chairs had to be added. Local people went forward for salvation, and the young evangelist I had hired completed his first crusade. Since that time, in 1986, this servant of God has traveled the world to tell people about Jesus and their need for him. At times and places where the gospel had never been preached. I've never been a numbers person, but in 2019, Bob and Trudy McLaughlin preached 587 messages in Africa, Alaska, Canada, and the Philippines, and had a staggering response of 162,651 people publicly indicating they received Jesus as their Savior. We get things in from the computer quite a few times in the year from Bob and Trudy, and I didn't write this down, but I'll tell you what thrills me. A lot of their ministries in the Philippines. And in the Philippines, the high schools, they're welcome. So a lot of their crusades take place in Filipino high schools, which I absolutely love, because they send pictures. Hundreds of high school students, a lot of them Muslim, as you could tell what they're wearing. Hundreds come forward for Jesus Christ. But just think, our schools aren't allowed. In the Philippines, they're welcome to come. My wife and I've had the pleasure and privilege support Bob and Trudy now since about 1980. And when they send these pictures. Like I say, I'm not a numbers person. If it was one person, praise the Lord. But when I can see these schoolyards completely full with high school kids with smiles, beautiful smiles, and their hands up for Jesus, there's nothing like that. That's, I don't know, for me anyway, I just joy in seeing those faces of joy that have met Jesus Christ. One of the greatest gifts in all of my Christian experience I received and was the friendship mentoring from a true man of God. Never met another man like him. He wasn't just a Sunday Christian minister. He was a lifetime Christian minister, day to day to day. He lived completely in faith. His name was Percy Guttridge. Percy was a minister of Jesus Christ who started preaching on the streets of Manchester, England, at the age of 15 or 16. Street preaching was common in those days. Eventually, he became a minister in the Church of England. Married and had six kids. In the 1970s, Percy heard about a movement of God in Abbotsford, B.C. and the Lower Mainland. He loaded his family up and went to be where the movement of God was. That's how Percy lived. He lived his whole life by faith. Percy was by far the most intelligent man I've ever met. I've never met anyone that could do this, but if he could quote the Bible, the whole Bible. And if he wanted it in Greek, he could do that also. But the reason I loved him so was I've never met a man that was more humble than Percy. Percy and I became very close friends. When he was not on the road teaching and preaching, he'd call me to come up to his home and we'd have a wonderful time of fellowship together. Percy somehow recognized my relationship with Jesus. After some time, he began to ask me if I would be ordained into the denomination named Bethesda Teaching Ministry, which he was a big part of. I would always respond by saying, I'm not qualified. His response to me being, you most certainly are. I wish I could say it how he did it in English, but anyway. The denomination was spread all over Canada and the United States, including Hawaii. The difference was, all of these men had never been in seminary. They had been involved in different kinds of employment. I only met a couple of them, but all were very powerful and respected men in their field. Here's a couple examples. One was the host of the number one Christian radio talk show in the United States. Another was the head warden in the Hawaii State Prison at Hilo, Hawaii. Another was the inventor of the smart bomb. Very famous indeed. With all these accomplished men, to ask me to be ordained and join in their ministry seemed really strange. Famous and powerful men, and Spud a sodbuster from Sumas. But then it happened that Whatcom County Jail decided that anyone conducting Bible studies in the jail had to be an ordained minister. Because I knew that the Lord had called me to do a Bible study there, I was officially ordained to be a minister of Jesus Christ in 1993 in Mission, B.C. Percy did not often quote scripture to me, and this wonderful, intelligent man would quote one verse, and I thought it spoke so loudly to this humble man. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. And I thought that spoke so much to Percy's humbleness. My wife and I had the privilege and honor to be with Percy as he was preparing to go home to England to die. That last evening with him, we witnessed the miracle of the Holy Spirit. Percy was so weak, he couldn't speak much over a whisper. My wife asked him a very important question, and I don't remember what the question was. But by the power of God, Percy answered her question in a loud and powerful voice. He spoke to us for at least 45 minutes with the voice of a 30-year-old evangelist. The next day, here's dumb Spud. I knew, and Percy knew, this would be our last time together. He was leaving the next morning for England to die. And I remember we hugged each other and I said, "See you later, Percy." How dumb is that? This spiritual, wonderful pastor. "See you later, Percy." The more I've thought about that over the years, and I still think about it, that was a proper statement. I will see Percy later. Praise God. I know that it's in my heart that one day Percy and I can get back together and share. However that is, I don't know. But I think the statement was true. For the past 40 years, it's been my great privilege to officiate at weddings and funerals. And in funerals, it's such a precious thing to sit and talk with families, those who've lost a loved one. It's especially wonderful to see the Lord Jesus not only bless this grieving family, but also see families reunited, forgiving each other, sometimes for people who haven't spoken to each other for years. I always tell people, if you don't believe in Jesus, do a funeral. A few years ago, I was called on to do four funerals in just over 3 years for my own family members. Spud is a wimp. He can't do things like that. I don't know whether many people can. If you care, I don't think you can. Our only hope and strength is in Jesus Christ to do it. And I always, 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 before these services, ask for the strength of Jesus Christ to help me through. We lost my brother-in-law, Louie. We lost our niece. I've lost her name. San. No. Linda. Lenny. My mom and my brother, Joe. Anybody remember Joe? Him and I were truly brothers. And Mom and I were as close as a mom and a kid can be. Jesus Christ can get us through these things. Only Him. I've been called more than twice or three times to go to homes where an evil spirit has invaded a home or a person. And I will tell you, I think I talked about it last week, but if you're called to do that, believe me, depend on the Lord Jesus to give you, ask Him, please give me the strength to be there. I've experienced fear in my life a few times, but nothing that compares to walking into a home where darkness is. But Jesus is always the victor. He gives us the strength to do those things. I think the greatest calling in my life has been 13 years in Whatcom County Jail, every Friday night Bible study. I can tell you how that happened. I had a good friend that was in jail for drunken driving. And I called Tony Stahl. Now, some of you may remember Tony Stahl. He was a hard-drinking truck driver from here, Harold's brother. And for years, that's what he did. But one day in California, he stopped the truck alongside the road, went up into a peach orchard, and cried out like Spud had cried out, "Help!" And from that time on, he became the chaplain at Whatcom County Jail. So that's how I knew to call Tony about this friend that I wanted to visit. Tony's answer to me as I was talking to him, he said, "I can tell you how to get in there, Spud." But he says, "You don't know this, but when you called, I was praying at my desk. What I was praying for is someone to come and start and lead Bible studies in Whatcom County Jail, and you're it." Bang. So I said, "Oh man, Tony, I'll give it a shot." So I met with him, and we went in, walked around the hallways some, said hi to some guards, but I absolutely hated it. So when we went out, Tony said, "What do you think, Spud?" And I said, "I didn't like it." He says, "You're not supposed to. Try it again." So I said, "Okay, once more." So the next week I met Tony again. I was sitting in the parking lot at the Whatcom County Jail. And I prayed, "Lord Jesus, if this is where you want me to be, would you please give me a sign, something that tells me this is where I belong." Went in. And bless Tony's heart. There's a place in the jail at that time. I can't remember what the... It's where they put the really, really bad guys. And there was six really small cells, cement with steel doors, no windows, just a hole that you could go up and down. The guards could. And Tony took me up there, bless his heart. And talking to the guard, I turned around. No Tony. He left me there. So I says to the guard, "Well, we'll start with number one and we'll go right on through till number six." Number one was a pro football player, and who can't talk pro football? It was very easy to visit. I don't remember. The second one was kind of the same thing. But between the three, he would say, "You don't want to go into number three." And I don't know. I don't know what's behind the door. I can't see. I could picture a gorilla behind that door. What in the world could be that bad? So when we got to number three, he says, "We'll go to number four." I said, "No, we're here. I might as well take three too." And so what I got for a sod buster from Sumas was a shock. He opened this steel door and I walked in, and there before me was a small Indian boy dressed completely like a woman. Now, I know this is going back 1981 or 2 or something. I'd heard about things like that, but I definitely had never seen a man dressed like a woman. So, I'm on number 3. I'm going to talk to him about Jesus, right? And I did. And finally, I asked him, "Can I pray for you?" He said, "No." So I talked to him more about Jesus. Then I said, "I'm going to pray for you." Put my hand on his shoulders and began to pray. When I opened my eyes, tears were rolling down his face. And if I had had a mirror, I would have seen tears rolling down my face. And then one of the, I think, the most different and wonderful experiences I've ever had in my Christian life. Love came over me. I can't explain this, but I've called it divine love. A love that goes beyond anything that I can describe from head to foot I had for this Indian boy. I would say there's no number. I'd say 100 times more than any love that a person can have came from Jesus Christ for that boy. So needless to say, I can't even remember the last 3. I believe I went there, but I knew for one thing. I had my sign from Jesus that that's where I belong. And for 13 years, Friday nights, you would find me, and later on with Lawrence Benner, in the Bible study in Whatcom County Jail. And no one, and I can say this easily, no one has ever been blessed more than we were all those years. The power of God that we experienced in them Bible studies, a lot of it coming from the people sitting in the Bible study. I was with all kinds of men, from DWIs to murder and child rapers. But I promise you, this is a true statement. Jesus says, Matthew 7:1, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And in 13 years, however many nights that is, not one time was Spud allowed to judge anyone. I can't explain these things. I only know that it's the power of God that can accomplish these things. When I went through the door, that steel door down at the bottom, and I hated it every week when it slammed behind me, I instantly, judgment left my body. And men going to prison for 20 or 30 years would ask me, "Spud, would you baptize me?" And over the years, I baptized quite a few men that were going to Walla Walla or Monroe. And I'll guarantee you, folks, I've never been to better baptismal services than with a group of men sitting around the table and a little tincture of water and baptize these guys, because they were going away for 30 years or 20 years, a hard time. And I always took a baptismal certificate and signed my name on it. And then we would pray with all of the guys that were there for Bible study and lay our hands on him. And every one of those guys signed that certificate. I've never been to more powerful services in my life. And that's how Bible study was in Whatcom County Jail for all those years. Men would speak, and we knew Lawrence and I would be in the elevator going down afterwards, and we'd be just shaking our heads at the power of God that we witnessed, the Holy Spirit coming through these men. A lot of them murderers. I'm so thankful for that verse, for the power of God that can take that. You know, it's not human not to look at someone and judge them. But Matthew 7:1 says, judge not, lest ye be judging with what you judge. That's what you're going to be judged with too. And it's true. And I wasn't allowed. I had the greatest compliment I've ever had in my life from one of the guys sitting in jail, a jailbird. One day as we were sitting there talking about the scripture, he pipes out of nowhere. He said, Spud, you know why we like you? And I was embarrassed. Here's what he said. You're not phony. He said, we've been phony all our lives, and we can spot phoniness a mile away. I think what a wonderful thing to put on a gravestone of a man. He's not phony. His relationship with Jesus is real. It's who he is. God has made him that way, a brother in Christ. My wife and I have a prayer that we are both allowed to speak for Jesus until our final breath. And I would say and encourage people here. There's some here I know. You can be used by God. You can be. And my mind is no good. I can't remember nothing anymore. But this is one that I remember. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And it's true. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you that you're with us. We pray that we who have experienced your power are willing to speak and testify that our lives are a testimony. Help us to be a testimony in our community and have the freedom to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Help us to speak boldly, not because we've how we accomplished, but what Jesus accomplishes in our lives. Thank and praise you, Lord Jesus, that you've died for us, our sins. And you live that we may have life, and life more abundantly. Thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing number 588, In the Garden. benediction. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing through him, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. We'll close with number 481, Fill My Cup, Lord.